and welcome to the Demand Gen Report podcast series. My name is Andrew Gaffney. I'm the editor of Demand Gen Report. Our podcast series will be talking to industry thought leaders on key topics that are emerging in the lead generation, lead management space. And this is part of our ongoing content series that we publish at demandgenreport.com. We hope you enjoy the content.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Demand Gen Report podcast series. Today we'll be looking at the topic of data hygiene, and we've got two great industry experts with us who are going to share their insights into data hygiene, how it's being addressed, what some of the key issues are around it. I'll be talking today with Ben Bradley, who's the Managing Director of Make and Rain Incorporated, which is a creative agency that helps clients deploy and use marketing automation tools to drive and nurture leads. Ben frequently lectures on a number of topics, including his children. We'll be joined by Coley Perry, and Coley has a new sort of next-gen agency in the high-tech recruitment space. Coley will tell us a little bit about that, as well as how he is addressing data hygiene, data management best practices in his new organization. So with that, welcome, Ben. Welcome, Coley.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's get started and look at this. I mean, Ben, you work with a number of clients. Coley, you have a diverse background and are now with a successful startup. How pervasive is the problem of sort of dirty data? How important is the area of dirty, data hygiene? And where do you see it sort of bubbling up within your organizations? Ben, let me start with you and some of the different clients you're working with.
Well, I'd say in about 100% of the cases, the prospecting data is generally polluted in some way. And I want to put a caveat in there that, the majority of the customers that we work with are, 250 million and smaller. And so we're generally working with companies with smaller sales organizations, smaller CRM deployments, and so their data is generally dirty from, let's say, lack of use is number one, and lack of a champion, meaning there's no one within the organization that has responsibility for the overall hygiene and deliverability of the data.
Okay, great. So let me tell you a little bit more background on Coley Perry, who's our other panelist today. Coley's VP of Sales and Marketing at Get Me the Right Job. Coley's background, he's a 15-year sales and marketing veteran with experience in and around the intersection of sales and marketing, change management, technology, and business process. Coley's built sales and sales teams and go-to-market strategies, including demand generations and revenue streams at a number of different organizations. His current area of work and specialty is around the convergence of sales, marketing, and technology. So, Coley, as you've grown, Get Me the Right Job, what are some of the data issues you've run into, and what are some of your areas you've addressed?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Andrew, and it's exciting to be here because one of the first things we did as we developed this business was make a very conscious effort to have it a data-focused organization, not unlike you'll hear a lot of talk of people trying to build a customer-focused organization. Underneath that, we start with the data. So to Ben's point, I don't know that anybody on the planet has 100% data quality. So, we see the trouble bubble up in a couple of areas. For our business, we have customers who are employers who hire people, and we also have a much more difficult data challenge in the area of job seekers, people looking for jobs. So when we look at it, we try to use execution as a way to very quickly get a handle on what kind of data quality we have, and then we move that into our process for data hygiene on both sides of the fence. And I would say that our employer or traditional B2B data has a little bit higher quality than an individual as a job seeker. But it's absolutely a challenge, and it's what we spend a lot of every single day trying to address.
Okay. Coley, let me start with you on this one. You've been around the sales and marketing space in the B2B area. You know, data management, data hygiene, is it more a sales or marketing issue? Is it something that makes it its way up to, you know, the chief executive office? Where are you seeing more of the pain, and, you know, how is it being addressed across, you know, departments and functions?
Yeah, that's another great question. So if I think back to my days when I carried a bag for a living, the data problem was absolutely the company or organization that I worked for's problem, but it was also my problem on a day-to-day basis. So along with the other 50 jobs you have to do in a lot of sales organizations, finding new prospects and new customers was part of that. So when I think about that question, I think it's everybody's problem, whether or not they take responsibility or have the realization that it is, becomes a different story. But, you know, in my past, I've worked in lots of organizations that understand that, boy, we need new customers and we need new logos and we need new revenue, but people are reluctant to go out and acquire 2,000 or 3,000 pieces of data for a marketplace, even though that can be done. You know, they leave that up to the salespeople to do that along with their other jobs. And then from a marketing standpoint, you know, they've always traditionally been probably a little bit better at doing this, but with the convergence of all of the digital capabilities and messaging capabilities, email, web forms, all of these things, I think marketing can become overwhelmed. And then the ultimate problem, I think, is really what your question is nobody necessarily owns it, because those two functions are in silos very often.
Right.
So marketing throws a lead, and then it's sales' problem to figure out if that data is still good, current, et cetera, and marketing has moved on to the next thing. So that's kind of the picture that I see of the world.
Okay. And Ben, you work with a number of different, you know, clients. Is that consistent with what you're seeing, or is it becoming more of a sales or marketing issue?
Oh, it's absolutely. It starts with marketing is where we believe. I mean, this is a kind of one of those no-brainer statements, is that it's very hard to sell to somebody unless you know who they are. And, you know, if marketing is responsible ultimately for the acquisition of net new names into CRM, and then sales is responsible for the management and nurturing of those names, both organizations, both departments need to own the data, marketing from the beginning and sales through the end. And agreeing on how that's going to be handed off or where the DMZ is very difficult for a lot of organizations, just because managing data manually, which is what most organizations do, it sucks. It's no fun. No one wants to do it.
Right. It's the least sexy aspect of anybody's job.
Yeah, and there's always something more important.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you some of the next-gen aspects of sales and marketing, things like marketing automation that really weren't prevalent a few years ago, social media. Ben, let me ask you, how is that changing the landscape? Is it further complicating the data management issue? What aspect, what impact is it having?
No, it shouldn't at all. If you're using marketing automation or social media and you're aligning those tactics with the sales pipeline or the marketing pipeline, those are simply entry points for, you know, the acquisition of net new names or the nurturing of existing names. And, you know, where people get led astray is looking at those things other than inputs into the pipeline. If you complicate it, it's easy to get complicated.
Yeah. Coley, are you seeing similar? I mean, any thoughts on how some of this next gen new media changes the way you're doing your job or impacts how you're managing data?
I think it does a lot. So up front, I think I mentioned that we like to look at execution as a real good way to understand what's going on and figure out what needs to be fixed. So a good marketing automation tool bolted on to at least a solid framework, if not a full-blown process. Certainly allows you to maybe work through data hygiene issues faster, right? So in our case, as a small, medium-sized business, we execute very robust marketing campaigns. And we have multi-touch campaigns that go out to thousands of people, tens of thousands even on a weekly basis. And, you know, we manage that with an offshore team of a couple manual folks and one person that operationally handles it. And the only way that that could be done with that small amount of people, along with things like, you know, Zoom Info and others, is to have tools. So I think people get led astray by the bright lights of social media, as Ben said, and not thinking about it as an input. And they can also get carried away with tools if they don't have a good structured process underneath, you know, acquisition of different tools.
And, you know, here's an example. So many of the marketing automation tools allow you to look at a campaign and then write back to CRM. And so a simple step of having an input into CRM that says if bounced, that can move the lead status to zero or to fix or to whatever it is that is in your process, quickly removes kind of that bad data tax from your ongoing campaign. So if you're getting bounces or if you're getting undeliverables or if you're getting people that aren't ever going to be qualified, using the tools to automate how that data is treated and then using that as a filter for before you start your manual scrub.
Okay, great. Let me ask you to sort of continue on that theme. What are, if for many of the companies out there that have been struggling with this, it's an issue that unfortunately that some companies don't get to. What's the roadmap to sort of going back and getting data management right to sort of fixing data hygiene problems? Ben, let me ask you, if I could start with you. How do you get started with some of your new clients when this is an issue?
Well, it's always an execution. Data management could be a task, that takes an infinite number of hours. And unfortunately, most of us don't have that kind of budget or luxury. And so while you could spend all this time planning and scrubbing and working on the data, what we generally recommend is you identify a segment from your database, execute against it, clean it, move on to the next segment, and just start working in small chunks. But make data hygiene part of the execution cycle to where you're out looking for customers and you're funding, you're selling, and working data hygiene into manageable chunks is absolutely what we recommend.
And, Cole, you have a bit of a different perspective, at least in your recent role. From a startup standpoint, how do you sort of build the right database from the ground up?
Yeah, that's a really good question, right? So I mentioned when I carried a bag, the three business cards in my pocket were the just-in-time data that I needed to do my job, and I think things are a little bit different today. So data in a general sense is available, whether through manual process, through purchase, through various tools, and the Internet has enabled you to find free data in all kinds of places. So that task can be overwhelming. So from the standpoint of a startup, when we began this exercise about a year ago and started actively building the business, we were careful to pay attention to that, and lucky for us, we kind of understood that the data was the currency of our business, right? It was the real asset and the real value that we had. So we have a CRM platform and a pretty robust cloud computing platform that we built on top of, but, as Ben said, it's execution, so we had to start somewhere and set a reasonable goal. We didn't expect that we'd have 100% data quality, but we didn't know if it would be 40% or 70%. And as Ben mentioned, there's a tax on that. So research will show you that as the quality of your data goes up, your response rates and conversions will follow suit. And we've seen that to be true And as we execute through small cycles, we continue to get improving results. So I think it's a function of try not to go too fast and try not to set goals that are too big from a data standpoint, but make sure it's a priority and don't leave it on the intern's desk, that's for sure. It needs to be part of your business process or your business strategy.
As companies like yours see the payout, do you see this data management, data hygiene becoming a higher priority for the C-suite? I mean, do you ever foresee a day where there's a chief data officer in companies, in B2B companies in particular?
Yeah, I absolutely see that for sure. If you look at it, I mentioned the customer-centric model that became popular a few years ago, and there's lots of chief customer officers or customer success officers out in the world today. And I think that's probably a natural progression because the chase for understanding who your customer is in the B2B world will never stop, and the data aspect of it is just a natural progression. So as we see the shift in B2B selling, right, the selling models have changed dramatically in the last 5 years. So as an example, we have no field sales force for a professional services selling organization. And if you look at 90% of our competitors, they have a huge field sales force, and we have no feet on the street, if you will, right? So we're using data as a competitive advantage, and we're arming people that are within our organization, very closely held, to do that. And by not having data as a part of our strategy and having the tools, that would be impossible, and our selling cost would be 10x what it is. So, yeah, if you want to be a successful business, I think you absolutely need to think about your data, because people talk about it being an asset, but understanding how to monetize it is a completely different function. And if you want to innovate and build new business models, you better understand how to monetize an asset like data.
That's great points. Ben, I think you'd share, is that similar to the learnings or the really awakenings you're seeing among clients?
Oh, without question. The challenge, it seems like, I mean, again, I want to go back to this, it seems like a no-brainer that, unless you have good data on who your customers are, it's very difficult to sell to them. And, I mean, just simple stuff, phone number, email address, title, with that information, armed with that information, just doing simple segmentation exercises can take your marketing to a whole different level. And I'm not talking about people, companies with armies of analysts. I'm talking about smaller companies with marketing departments of one or two, or sales organizations of five or six that are executing campaigns, role-based campaigns against clean databases are seeing just phenomenal success rates. Even on their email campaigns are seeing, 20 and 30, 40% open rates on their campaigns from just very, very simple segmentation exercises.
Okay, I think that's all I had. I'm sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as a follow-on to that, I mentioned that we don't have a traditional field sales organization. If you're doing things like that, you can improve the efficiency of the field sales team that you have by 5 or 6 or 7 or 8-fold, because you're taking a big job off of their plate. And that's the world I lived in, right? So I experienced that and walked in those shoes. And I think that might be an important thing for people to think about, is how to break up the job and allow marketing to act more as an enabler or a service to a sales organization and take 30 or 40% of the work off their plate.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, I want to thank you both, gentlemen, for making time today. Those are great insights. I want to remind all of our listeners that today's blog has been hosted by Demand Gen Report in partnership with followthelead.com. You can check out and access some of this content on both of those sites. So thank you, Ben. Thank you, Coley. It's great insights. We'll look forward to talking to you both in the future.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks again for that great content. I hope our audience enjoyed it. I want to thank you for listening today. Keep an eye out for other upcoming podcasts in the series that we'll be broadcasting through DemandGenReport.com.